Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move.
Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Be a part of the best pro wrestling podcast today by supporting the Going In Raw Patreon. You can enjoy access to the live taping of the show, exclusive merchandise, and patron-only episodes, and so much more. Support Going In Raw today. Click the link in the description.
This is the glorious one, Bobby Roode, and you're watching Going In Raw.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome to Going In Raw, the only pro wrestling podcast you need to be listening to right here at youtube.com/Steve Larson. Available wherever fine podcasts are. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and the little notify bell after it if you always want to know when your new Going In Raw content is available. If you guys want to support the show, one great way to do it is hopping on that iOS podcast app, leaving us a rating or a review. We're also available on the Patreon at patreon.com/Steven Larson, where we have 52 people watching this podcast as a live stream right now, which we do 3 days a week. All of our recaps, Raw, SmackDown, NXT, 205 Live, are all done as live streams for our amazing patrons out there.
Yes.
They get to enjoy the pre-shows and the post-shows.
Yes.
Where we do tomorrow, we're going to do chat trivia.
Yep. Today we're doing, oh, did you find a pay-per-view that you're going to quiz me on? Because I didn't.
No, man, I'm just going to do that during the show.
2 minutes.
Yeah, exactly. It's all good. We're also on the Pro Wrestling Tees. We got a bunch of great shirts on Pro Wrestling Tees.
The one you're wearing is one of them.
Yeah, well, yeah, not going to happen.
All of these.
Not actually wearing that.
Thrown up at the screen right now.
This one right here.
This shirt.
That's Rainmaker Okada shirt.
Yeah, it's on Pro Wrestling Tees, but it's not in our store.
What crap? There you go. That'll kill the video right there. Look at that.
Yeah.
Very, very...
very blue.
Vibrant. Very vibrant. Anyways. Yeah, lots of great stuff that we have available. The Patreon.
We got to tell everybody we're doing a Clash of Champions live stream, reaction stream, Sunday, starting at 4:30 Pacific.
Very excited.
This upcoming Sunday.
Right here at Steve's house.
You say very excited?
About what?
The live stream.
Yeah, man, it's always exciting when we get to hang out with our
friends. Are you excited for Clash of Champions?
No. No. I might get Rubio's.
Oh, okay.
Rubio's is good.
Yeah, that's good.
I'd like, for a once-in-a-while thing, you can't have it all the time.
No.
But every once in a while, I like Rubio's.
Yeah.
Their Burrito Especial, I think, is the one that I like.
Yeah?
It's good.
Good.
Are you with me on the Rubio's
thing?
Yeah,
I'm cool with Rubio's.
All right, cool. Anyways, we're also, that's it. That's all we got, right?
Yeah.
We got the holidays coming. We got so much stuff.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of count outs for the end of the year, all sorts of best of 2017 stuff.
Right.
End of year type stuff.
Right.
So there'll be some shifts in the programming schedule, but everything will return. Anything that doesn't air between now and the end of the month will return in 2018. So if for example you're a huge fan of Matt Chat.
Oh yeah.
There's not another Matt Chat this year, but it will return in 2018.
Yeah, so we've been shuffling our programming around a little bit, and like my biggest goal for 2018 is from the jump get a solid like programming schedule, because you know we had a very solid programming schedule for a while.
90% of our programming schedule set. It's just usually it's just the weekend stuff.
Yeah, we're just tinkering with the weekend stuff,
yeah.
Trying to get monetized as much as we can.
What performs best and what people enjoy the most.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's talk about Raw.
Yeah, man.
Raw.
You know, look, not every week is going to be a golden killer episode.
Well, it was interesting because the first 2 hours were pretty boring.
Yeah.
And the last hour was really good.
Yeah, it was good. There was some good stuff. Roman Reigns put on another good match.
Yeah.
I don't want to take anything away from him. But who did he fight last week?
Was it Jason Jordan last week?
Yeah, Jason Jordan, he's a wrestling machine. That guy can put on really great matches.
Yeah,
but I feel like Roman Reigns is getting a lot of great experience with a lot of great wrestlers.
Yeah, I know.
So it'll be interesting. I'll put it this way. It'll be interesting to see. Oh, hey, you know what? That match he had with Elias that time was actually really good.
Yeah.
Is Roman Reigns turning into a five-star wrestling machine?
I wouldn't go that far, but I think he's improving.
He can actually carry some decent matches these days.
Yeah.
And when he has an opponent who's
up to the task,
they can put on some damn good matches, because that Cesaro match. And we know Cesaro, he's a wrestling machine, too.
Yeah.
He can put on some really good matches. And
he can.
Roman's selling better.
Yeah.
They still haven't given him much of an offense to work with.
Yeah, I think that's largely because they want him to have an instantly recognizable arsenal of moves.
His spear leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, we'll talk to more about that during the match, because the match overall is good. There's a couple small qualms, but I'm not going to... They're minor details.
I don't know why I'm picking on Roman immediately.
I don't know either.
Kind of rude, to be honest.
I know, considering that match was probably the highlight of the show.
Yeah, no, it was a really good match.
Let's start off with the beginning, though. Samoa Joe opened the show with a promo, and I can listen to Joe talk all day. Talk about pretty much anything, and I'll be captivated.
Put him in a movie.
Yeah.
Like, soon, yeah.
He's done some voiceover work, you know.
Tarantino's doing a Star Trek movie. I'd like to see Joe in a Tarantino movie.
Yeah, that'd be good. He's no-sold what I said.
He's doing voiceover
stuff? He's done some voiceover work before.
That's cool. That's not surprising. Is it in a... Has he
like
done it?
Video game stuff, I think.
It'd be cool if he did the voiceover for... Remember how Majel Barrett used to do the voiceover?
The
computer in Star Trek.
Yeah.
It'd be cool with Samoa Joe now.
That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Intense Joe or Mellow Joe?
Oh, it's always Intense Joe.
Yeah, it's got to be Intense Joe.
Although he liked my... he tweeted out something about robots taking over. And
yeah.
He said, people need to learn how to fight robots. And I tweeted out a picture to him of a guy kicking a Boston Dynamics robot in the back and it just falling over.
Yeah.
And he liked it.
Good.
Good.
Oh, so this, like, Joe's promo was good, but the whole structure of this segment was awkward because Joe was in the ring talking, culminating in him calling out Roman.
Yeah.
We cut backstage to Seth and Dean watching on a giant monitor.
Yeah.
And they're super concerned about it. And then Seth says, Dean, go get Roman. So Dean leaves. And then we're back in the ring with Joe continuing to call out Roman, and Roman's not coming out, and this feels awkward.
Yeah.
Like, why is Roman not responding to Joe in any way?
This is overwritten, man.
And so he talks a lot more, and we cut again backstage. Now Roman's with the Shield.
Yeah.
And he says one line like, all right, I'm going to go take care of this.
Yeah.
It seemed completely unnecessary.
They wanted some, like, dramatic moment. Because, like, when he leaves, like, the camera's going back with him for a little bit. And I'm like, okay, okay, Scorsese, what are you doing here?
Yeah.
Just keep it simple. Have him call out Roman and have Roman come out.
I know.
It's that easy. You don't have to show. Look, man, we don't have to see every single shot of him with the Shield whenever possible. We understand what you're trying to do. You're trying to get him over because of Seth and Dean. I get it. But you know what? I don't know.
It's unnecessary. It's too much.
It is unnecessary.
We already know the Shield are back together. They all are wearing the same T-shirt.
Yeah. Why didn't somebody say, wait, is all this necessary?
Yeah, probably not.
Can't you just call him out and he comes out?
During the course of Joe's promo.
And what was he doing while the Shield were watching TV? Why wasn't Roman watching TV as well?
I know.
What was he doing? I never know what he was doing.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
Eating some kale back there.
Joe was saying, you know, I don't need anybody to help me. I don't need the bar to come to my assistance to beat you, Roman Reigns. Come out here right now, just one-on-one, let's do it.
Yeah.
Reigns comes out, they brawl in the ring. The bar come from out of nowhere, distracts Roman, Joe puts Reigns in the coquina clutch.
Right.
Out comes Seth and Dean, everybody brawls, but the bar and Joe stand tall at the end of the segment, laying out the Shield.
Hey, hold on a second, I want to mention this, because Alex C. mentioned this also. The very head of the show, before Joe even came out, they had a previously on Raw.
Yeah, yeah.
Do they? So I know they usually do video packages.
Yeah, they've had voiceover before.
That same voiceover
guy?
Really?
Yeah.
Seemed really, because, I mean, look, honestly, most times with Raw, I'll watch the first 15 minutes, because, like, the first 15 minutes, I'm usually picking up Bama from daycare or from her school. So like, usually it's on View, like my PlayStation View, and I'll just fast forward past the video package because who cares about that?
Yeah.
I just thought it was really goofy. Previously on Raw.
Yeah, I've done that before.
Roman Reigns, the Intercontinental Champion.
Mm-hmm. They do it infrequently, though, obviously, because...
Okay.
Either they should just do it all the time or not do it at all.
Because I've seen something similar. I just don't know if that was a new... I thought usually they had the more of a movie voice guy.
No, it's been
previously
that guy
on Raw.
No, it's been that guy before. I don't know if it's always that guy, but it's been that guy before.
Okay.
So yeah, the bar.
Get me and Gene to do that.
Well, that'd be cool. B-Bar and Joe stand tall. And of course, later on, we had matches, one-on-one matches between members of the Shield and members of the Bar and Joe. We'll get to those later. Next, Bayley and Mickie James versus Paige and Mandy Rose. Before the match, Absolution.
Mm-hmm.
Each member drops a brief promo.
Mm-hmm.
People keep on wanting Sonya Deville. Like, they don't want Mandy Rose, they don't want Paige, but they want Sonya Deville.
I feel like Sonya, and I would probably
do this
too.
I thought she did a fine job.
No, she's fine. I feel like she offers up more of an opportunity to what? Because she does the thing where you talk like this sometimes, where there's a perfect opportunity for them to what. If you open, here's the thing, if you open them up to the what's, they'll do the what's.
Mm.
Mandy Rose, I think she's a bit savvier on the mic.
Maybe.
And so she doesn't do the pause thing.
But she had one huge pause in the middle of her promo, I thought.
Well, yeah, but you can only really what once. You have to have multiple pauses for the crowd to rev up into the what.
There's got a rhythm to it.
It's got to be a rhythm. You know, one pause is just one big dramatic pause. Otherwise, I'm pretty sure she throws the cadence off enough. What? And how is that not promo 101? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
Like, that should be starting class. Sonya Deville should have, like, they should have done that with her. Like, at least with, we need an office space.
Yeah, we do.
Ringing on my doorbell right now. When you start out, yeah, I know, it threw me off. See, like, now I'm getting whatted by this door guy.
What? What?
Sonya Deville.
What?
Should have.
What?
Taken promo.
What?
101. Where they teach you the cadence thing, you know, because if you keep on talking like this, you're not going to really give them an opportunity to throw the what's out there, because then you just, you know, it just doesn't make any
what?
Sense.
What?
They need to get on the same page.
Agreed.
Anyways.
Anyways, Mandy Rose picked up the win, pinning Mickie James after a kick to the head from Paige.
Yeah.
It's an okay match.
It was what it was. It was mission accomplished. What happened later was a little interesting. We can go into the possibilities from there. But I do kind of like that the Absolution has, I think more so than over on SmackDown with the Riot Squad, Absolution is more of a heavier feel to
more
it.
More of a threat.
Yeah, I was going to say a threat, but even more just like, everything's thrown asunder.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a whole new, everything shifted kind of.
A paradigm shift.
And I think something vital, paradigm, thank you, buzzword. I think there needs to be some disruptive technology happening here.
There you go.
Yeah. But anyways, we'll get to that in a second, because something kind of
changing the status quo.
Thank you, exactly.
Next. Paradigm All right, shift. Let's talk about this, because I felt
they're
like
being proactive.
There you go. I feel like this Bray Wyatt Matt Hardy thing was a complete waste of time, because they pretty much went over the same exact ground they did last week. They need to, every week, if they want to build this feud up, they really, hold on, don't tell me to train Kilo. They need to up the ante week after week.
Be patient.
I know.
Be patient. Okay, look, dude, come on. This episode of Raw, there was a lot of spinning of the wheels in this.
Oh, it was the whole first 2 hours of spinning wheels.
I know, and I get what you're saying, but every week we're like, okay, they need to do this next, and they need to do this. And it's like, you know how it goes.
You know what bothers me?
How often have they actually...
You know
actually,
what bothers me?
What?
How come no one ironed the fabric behind
Matt
Hardy?
Oh, my God, right?
Iron the fabric. You see these huge wrinkles in it.
It's like our green screen. Like, yeah. we have that cloth green screen that we try to... I mean, it's been years since we tried to use it. But, like, it's all just stuck, like, all in there. And it's like, you put it up, and
it's just wrinkled all over the place.
It's just wrinkled and mess. Like,
iron the fabric.
It can't take that long.
No, steam it something.
Yeah. And then when you put it away, because this
fold it up properly.
This looks like they put it through like a garbage disposal first.
Yeah, I know.
You know, it's just complete.
No,
it's
literally like it was balled up. They put it in some.
They got Braun to ball it up.
Yeah, or he accidentally got stuck to his foot and he came out of the garbage truck.
Right, exactly.
And because it looked like it had just been balled up, pulled out of a case, and they pinned it to the wall.
I know.
It looked awful.
Like, I feel like any background could have been less distracting.
Yeah, all I saw was wrinkles.
A brick wall.
Between that and then the terrible Woken graphic they came up with. Awful.
Yeah.
Why don't they should have stuck with the transitions last week were fine. The glitchy stuff.
Yeah.
That worked fine.
I'll say this. The only way it would have been better, or the only way this will be acceptable, is if the Woken graphic with the breaking glass and then the sheet behind him were literally very specific directions from Matt Hardy himself.
If it leads to something, okay, but I don't feel like that.
Oh, and then they have to lead anything. If he said, no, look, we have this great, they're like, Matt, we have this great brick backdrop that we can, no, I have this folded, have this folded tarp from home that I won't really want to use. Yes.
And he made that Woken graphic himself.
And he made, and he has like a little thumb drive. He's like, here, take this and use it. And like, okay, but it's very specifically him. If that's the case, then I'm totally fine with it because it's his artistic vision.
Yeah.
And who are we to question that?
Exactly.
But I kind of feel like it wasn't.
No.
I kind of feel like they just threw a tarp up back there and they're like, it's really folded.
No, it didn't look folded. It looked balled up.
I know. Folded would have indicated some amount of care.
Yes. It looked like no care was given to this piece of fabric.
Yeah.
It was distracting. I was not a fan of it. Next. Enzo, backstage.
Yeah.
He runs into Drew Gulak, and it was at this point they obliquely mentioned Rich Swann's legal issue.
They said, hey, Drew, how quickly can you get out of the way the whole Rich Swann thing? We need you to say Rich Swann's opportunity has been rescinded, but do it as quick as possible and as under your breath as possible.
That's pretty much exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And I think during commentary for the Fatal 4-Way, it was the same thing where Michael Cole, someone just mentioned it quickly.
Yeah,
that was it. No mention of suspension, legal issues, nothing.
I thought for sure we were going to get Michael Cole's serious face at the commentary table. You know, ladies and gentlemen, an incident happened. An incident happened. Rich Swann has been indefinitely suspended by the WWE. Therefore, Kurt Angle. No, none of that. Enzo, good news. Rich Swann's opportunity has been rescinded. Therefore, there's going to be a second chance Fatal 4-Way. Oh, wild card finals.
Yeah.
That was kind of cool. Let me ask you something.
What?
When he initially said we're going to have a Fatal 4-Way second chance, did you know who's going to win?
Had they announced the participants? When he said that,
they did that a little bit later.
Oh, once I saw Cedric was in it, I knew he was going to win.
Yeah, I kind of felt it was going to be Mustafa, because I felt like they're going to want to protect Cedric, and there's not a chance he's going to win. This is definitely headed towards Drew Gulak.
It seems that way.
And they're going to turn him face, man.
Oh, yeah.
This is going to be a hot match, and they're going to turn him face.
Yeah.
That's in my heart, anyways.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I thought the idea maybe instead of...
Because also Mustafa Ali and him have a history.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
Instead of doing the Drew Gulak face turn quite yet, maybe they thought, okay, we'll have Cedric win, we'll have him take the belt off Enzo, and have Drew get involved in the match somehow, cost Enzo the belt, take that route leading to Drew's face turn, rather than just having him beat Enzo for the belt.
Oh, it has to be Enzo. It has to be Enzo. Here's how Cedric Alexander could have been a big star, dude. Because I was thinking about it, and I was like, man, what is missing from it? You know what's missing from Cedric Alexander, why he's not a big star right now? It's because he's not under the radar. And he's not under the radar because they push him on 205 Live. And when you know that there's a whole show that's kind of on somebody's shoulders, they can't fly under the radar. If he was racking up wins with the best wrestling matches in the company and... Not doing anything with his character, he would be over to the point where once he came out of nowhere and challenged like Roman for the IC title, people would mark out big for him. But when you're not under the radar, it's really difficult to like gain that sort of underdog traction that he kind of needs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like RVD. RVD was never the featured attraction of ECW. But whenever he came out, he got the loudest, like, he got the biggest chance.
Yeah, he always done the best matches.
Exactly. But everybody else had, like, flashier roles. Shane Douglas, Raven, they all had flashier roles. But he would always be putting on the best matches. And there really wasn't much character there. He was always under the radar. And then fast forward, they bring him in the WWE. Who's getting the biggest chance from everybody in the invasion? It's RVD because he's putting on the best matches in kind of an under-the-radar way.
Well, I think you're the stronger point of your argument is the best matches part, not so much the under-the-radar part.
I'm telling you, man, when there's a spotlight on somebody, they're... People always...
The spotlight in 205 Live is not that bright.
No, I know. But everybody talks about it because, where is it in the ratings? Where is the ratings? You know, they're putting Enzo on there now, et cetera.
We talk about it that way. But do you think the fans that permanently just watch Raw and SmackDown even are... You know, there was that survey where they literally said, do you know what 205 Live is? 205 Live
People
is.
People like to be on the ground floor of popular bands.
No, I know.
They like to be on the ground floor. And when you feel like you're on the ground floor with a wrestler, it's like, oh, my God. We were on the ground floor with Drew Gulak, and look what's happening right now.
Well, we weren't aware of his work in CZW. They
okay,
were on the
we weren't on the ground. Okay, we were in CZW. But when he first started doing the Drew Gulak, you know, better making a better 205, I was like, okay, hold on
a second.
We were
instantly on board with that,
This is something that's really, really good. And look at it now. It's like, okay, cool, people are coming alive. And we feel a little bit cooler now. Cedric Alexander, I think, is the same way. Like, he's always been kind of hovering around the top face position on 205 Live. If 205 Live didn't exist and they only had the cruiserweights on Raw, and he was always kind of flying under the radar, I think he would have a bigger chance of sort of getting pushed out there in the fans' minds as sort of this weird, odd, awkward, medium push thing that he's gotten. Just my thought on it. Just my personal point of view. Let's see here. Next up, was that Enzo backstage bit? No, that was later. Okay.
Yeah, there's another one later.
So next up, we had Finn Balor versus Curtis Axel. Curtis and
Bo Dallas are
they came out like they were drunk though.
Yeah, a little bit.
They came out like they're acting drunk.
I noticed that too, a little bit. Curtis Axel was being funny with his neck brace. It was funny stuff.
No, it was good. It was good.
The Miz Taraj attacked Finn before the bell rings. But once the bell rings, Curtis Axel has the upper hand for a real brief moment, and then Finn drop kick, coup de grace, win.
Yeah,
Finn's the coolest guy.
Yeah.
He really does seem like the coolest guy.
No, man, he totally does. It's really weird that he...
And it, like that,
not in an actual feud right now.
When he came out for his match, it felt like the first time for the whole show up to that point where the crowd actually came alive for a moment.
No, they didn't, man, because he's not over. You know that. Finn Balor's not over. Nobody likes that
guy. Do you think Vince and Gorilla, when Finn comes out, just maybe doesn't like his music, so it hits mute on his headphones so he doesn't actually hear the pop he gets when he comes out?
I don't know what he's doing back there, man. I think Vince obviously sees things through Vince's...
Yes. Of course he's not over. He's not 6 feet tall.
Wait, if he was 4 inches taller...
This thing is over.
You know, not him.
No, the demon is over.
The demon is over, not him. I don't know, man. I don't know what he has to look at to see how supremely over this guy is. It's probably just a matter of Finn Balor goes against every instinct that Vince McMahon has for wrestling, and that's why he either doesn't consider Mo. I'm fairly shocked that he's not wrestling Brock at the Rumble. I know.
But then I'll say Brock facing off against Braun, Kane, or both feeds into the narrative they've kind of set up for Brock, where he's been taking on, apart from AJ, wrestlers as big or larger than himself.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically the storyline. It was Joe, Braun, all of them.
Yeah.
You know, Reigns, Joe, Braun, and then who was the fourth in that match? Reigns. Oh, he was fourth. And now Braun and maybe Kane again. So the idea that when Reigns eventually beats him, WrestleMania is going to be super impressive because Braun beats all these other monsters. So I understand why AJ will be the lone kind of smaller wrestler out of that group of wrestlers.
Yeah, I know.
That's the story they're going with. I mean, it's a bummer because, in one sense, I want Finn to get that opportunity. I don't want to see him get squashed by Brock. I would hope that if that match were to happen, it would be similar to what the AJ-Brock match was. But
yeah. And you'd make – I mean, there's no downside to that match happening to the way you describe it, having an AJ-Brock type match with AJ and with Finn and Brock.
Mm-hmm.
No downside to it, because Finn comes out looking like $1 million because who'd have thought somebody this small could...
Yeah, no, because Finn is smaller than AJ.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably about the same height, but not quite as filled out.
So, I don't know. I mean, look, we saw on Stephen Larson Books Raw.
Yeah, what happens.
What happens, exactly. Maybe Vince...
The pop.
Maybe Vince actually did see that and say, wait a second. Oh, no. Finn can beat Brock Lesnar.
Maybe Finn will win the Rumble.
Thought it was a shoot.
Finn wins the Rumble, wins the Belt of Mania from Brock.
There you go. That could be. Yeah, they're saving him for Mania.
Yeah. This whole Roman Brock thing is.
No, dude, we can't say it. Look, Randy Orton is winning the Rumble. It's going to be huge, massive. It's going to be great.
Huge pop.
Randy Orton. I'm all on board with that.
Yeah.
I'm getting his shirt.
Good. Get all of them. The retro one and the newer ones.
Yeah, I'll get it all. Is there any that look like it's airbrushed?
I don't think so.
Remember how they used to have, like, they had the Stone Cold? It didn't look airbrushed. It was, like, his picture.
Yeah.
But he was, like, half cyborg or whatever he was.
The one where he was doing...
The rattlesnake arms?
Yeah, snake hands.
Yeah, those two. Is there, like, a Randy Orton similar one to that?
Not that I'm aware of.
There had to have been sometime in the last 20 years since he's been
around. I think they have his NWO-style RKO shirt up on WWE Shop right now.
Man, that's so ugly.
You should get it.
That's so
You should get it.
I should.
If you're really a true Orton fan.
Well, I thought we were in this together, man.
I never said I was going to buy a shirt.
Well, I guess we're not in this together. Maybe I'm rolling solo.
Yeah, I mean, I came up with the idea. And I said, I told you if you're...
Leaving it to me to execute it?
Yeah.
What a bum you are. Are you going to wear this shirt? Hey.
No, I don't have it.
What if Baron Corbin wins the Rumble?
That'd be something else.
Pretty much everybody except for Randy Orton would actually be preferable to win the Rumble.
I'm aware of that.
Can you name anybody? Listen, can you name anybody who you would actually say, oh, I'd rather have this person win it, or I'd rather have Randy win it than this person? Because I can't. Even Enzo. I mean, maybe Cena. Maybe Cena's on that level.
Yeah, I think Cena.
But I'd still rather see Cena because Cena legitimately entertains me.
Yeah.
Next up, we had a Kane promo. Man, I watched this for the life of me, and it's weird because I know I could.
Were you trying to do his voice?
I could do it. Like, my voice, I don't know, pitch, timbre, I don't know what it would
timbre.
Be. I mean, I could match it. I just don't know. I'm watching him, and I'm like, Braun. And then I just try to take the accent out of The Undertaker because he's got that accent.
Yeah.
Which I always, like, overdo.
Yeah.
And I try to take that out of it. Braun. We're both monsters. I can't do it without an accent. It's weird.
Yeah.
Can't do it. I'm really bummed out about that. I want Kane to be gone because I can't do him.
I kind of felt like watching that you were practicing the accent the whole time while watching it, and I'm happy to know that I was correct.
Before I brought that up, you thought that.
While I was watching it, yeah.
It's not easy.
No. No, it is
not. I always put my mouth, because he does this.
Yeah.
Braun.
Anyway, he's talking about beating Braun, and then he gets to face Brock.
You are a monster, and so I can't do it.
You can't do it.
Next up, Seth Rollins versus Sheamus.
I can't watch Sheamus wrestle anymore, knowing that he's like really hurt.
Right?
I can't.
I thought for sure they were gonna do a thing where like Joe would lay out Rollins first, and then Sheamus would just get to go on vacay for the day.
No,
man, that didn't happen. He had like a real match.
Kudos to Sheamus for working through what could be a serious injury. I don't know if he's working through the Rumble or through Mania, but I hope after they drop the belts, Cesaro and Sheamus, he gets a lengthy bit of time off. So if there's any chance that he can completely recuperate from his condition, that he can. Because otherwise, it seems like he's going to have to retire prematurely.
It's a huge bummer, man. Mm-hmm. This is an absolute bummer. Mm-hmm. And you're right, I hate watching it too.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck? Spinal, what is it?
Stenosis.
Stenosis, yeah. I thought it was spinal.
I think that's what Sting has too.
Well, yeah, and they have been there against unsafe worker Seth Rollins.
Well, there's no buckle bombs.
Yet. Anyways, Rollins wins with that cool knee thing.
Yeah, they still don't have a name for it.
What did they call it? Did they call it anything last night?
They just said hit him with the knee.
Hit him with the knee.
So I'm going to keep calling it that cool knee because that's what Seth called it on the Sam Roberts show. Afterwards, Dean Ambrose was backstage, gave an interview with his wife.
Uh-huh.
Of course, they didn't acknowledge their marriage.
Yeah.
Because that's not part of kayfabe.
No. I know. It's a bummer. Like, everybody always acknowledges it unless they're in there together talking about other stuff.
Yeah.
Kind of annoying.
And so Dean was talking about his match against Samoa Joe.
He said, what's your strategy?
Yeah.
And he said, I got to make sure I don't get kicked in the face, or I got to make sure I'm not putting the coquina clutch. He says, I probably shouldn't be talking about my strategy out here on TV, Renee.
Yeah.
Wifey. And then he stomps off. Next up, we had a fantastic...
Oh, this was so good.
Hey, look, man. I'm glad they're not doing these meaningless tag team matches. They're actually putting matches on...
With consequence.
I feel like especially these four right here are all so well-defined. Cedric, Tony Nese, Mustafa Ali, Arya Daivari. I don't know why I stumbled over that one. Especially Daivari. I love Daivari.
Mm-hmm.
Second chance fatal four-way for Rich Swann's rescinded opportunity to take on Drew Gulak for the number one contender spot. Multiple lumbar checks. Cedric dropped Mustafa Ali with one before he's able to get the pin. Daivari came in, tried to steal the pin. Mustafa Ali kicked out. We had Drew Gulak on commentary. He was wearing his suit and tie.
With a badge.
Looks great.
It was great.
Yeah. Anyways, Cedric ended up pinning Daivari.
After a lumbar check. Lumbar checks might be the best finisher in WWE right now.
And here's the thing about it. So you kind of mentioned this. Like, we've talked about how great Noam Dar is with it. And you've mentioned before, I think during one of our little Q&A things at the end of an episode, somebody might have asked, I think they said, what's like the best finisher on Raw right now? I wonder if the 205 Live division, if they've all come to some sort of agreement that the lumbar check, to try to get Cedric really over, because they know that if they have a really strong lead, they all do well too.
Yeah, yeah.
They all sell. Did you see Daivari sell this?
Yeah, it looked like he...
It looked like he died.
It looked like he broke his back.
It looked like he broke his back and he was a sack of potatoes when he got pinned.
Yeah.
I wonder if they're all like, hey, sell the shit out of that.
Yeah.
Like, act like it kills you.
Yeah.
Because if you have one guy with a devastating finisher like that, and they've been booking it that way, and the guys have been selling it that way, I wonder...
Could be.
That could be.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be the producer saying, hey, lumbar check is the most power, you know, do that thing.
Yeah.
But I like the idea. I like the idea that those guys in the division
coming together in the locker room and just saying, all right.
Because, you know, they have pride. It might not
be a matter of them saying collectively, lumbar check, strongest finisher. I mean, that could come from producers. But it could be just a collective thing. Instead, you know, say, hey, in general, let's go out there and just steal the show every time we get a chance to do it.
I would think,
and then, you know, let's all put over each other's finishers.
Yeah. Yeah. They all seem
But that's one of those moves that gives the person taking it a really great opportunity to sell the heck out of it.
Yeah, I know. I know. I'm speculating here. They all seem like they enjoy working with each other. You know? I mean, especially these four.
It's been really cool over the course of the last year, seeing everybody in that division really develop some really good chemistry.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's been really neat.
Yeah.
Cedric gave an interview afterwards.
Yeah,
impassioned.
Yeah.
Intense. Not too long. Good stuff.
Yeah. I think it's going to be a fantastic match next week.
I'm happy the crowd is starting to respond. Like the last 3 weeks, they've responded really well to all these matches they've been having
on. If Drew goes over clean next week,
uh-huh.
What do you think is going to happen? Because, I mean, my thing about Mustafa Ali is, well, I kind of feel like they want to protect Cedric, so they're not going to have him go over.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to have him eat a pin, rather. But especially given this next backstage segment, so we'll talk about that really quick. Enzo and Drew Gulak are backstage. Drew says, well, it's settled. Cedric and I are going to be fighting next week, and I'm going to go ahead and win that match, and then I'm going to take your Cruiserweight Championship, and Enzo gets all hurt over it.
Yeah.
And Drew is like, it's just some fun banter. It's just some friendly competition talk.
Mm-hmm.
And Enzo is about to lay into him in his PowerPoint presentation, and Drew's starting to get upset.
Yeah.
He's showing on his face.
Yeah.
Kind of wish they gave him the opportunity to say, look, like, can you imagine if Drew got super serious for a second?
Yeah.
Look, you're a crap wrestler.
Yeah. You are not a very good wrestler. You'd say it like that.
Yeah, exactly.
You violate several of my rules in my PowerPoint
presentation. I feel like the crowd is this close to just, if they gave him one line like that,
oh, yeah,
where you see all of a sudden, hey, dude, I'm not your bitch.
Yeah.
You know, I'm walking away with that title.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be cool right now. I think they'd pop super hard. I think if they play this right with Enzo, because they've got such a strong character in Enzo,
mm-hmm,
and he really tries to dump on Gulak over the next couple weeks, and Gulak wins next week, I'd prefer it that way over Enzo. Like, do you think there's a possibility Enzo might cost Gulak the...
Always a possibility, but I don't know if they're going to have Cedric go over that way. Well, they could do that, have Enzo cost Drew the match, and then when Cedric faces Enzo, have Drew cost Enzo the match. So you have this feud of Drew's face turn in a feud with Enzo. Meanwhile, Cedric can do something else, and it'd be up the road, their paths converge.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Is Cedric in anything with anybody else right now?
I mean, they keep calling this a friendly rivalry with Mustafa Ali.
Oh, yeah, I don't see Mustafa Ali going heel, though. I don't see him costing Cedric the thing.
No, I didn't think it'd be that. Maybe just a feud after Cedric potentially wins.
There's no hint, though, that Enzo wants Drew just to lay down for him. I mean, I haven't got that yet.
Well, I guess you could say that's the subtext of him having a problem with Drew saying he's going to win the title.
I think it'd be great, because I'm not sure how much they really care about protecting too many people on 205 Live. They didn't care about protecting Kalisto. I think it'd be great if Cedric and Drew put on like a 25-minute just killer match,
mm-hmm,
and Drew goes over clean. If they book that match correctly as just two guys fighting as hard as they can, mm-hmm, you know, screw being heel or face, or mm-hmm, Drew not wanting to, if they have Drew come off the top or something,
mm-hmm,
at least 1 point, sort of getting over his thing because he knows he has to win this, the crowd would eat it up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That'd be a huge turn right there.
It would be.
It's a big opportunity. Because I do think that, so next, so Enzo was on the verge of calling Drew Gulak's PowerPoint presentation soft, apparently.
Yeah.
Nia Jax comes up again with her, like, weird smile and says, "Hey, guys." And it, all of a sudden, it was a scene out of, like, I don't know, a high school drama, you know? Cause like, and she says, "Hey, Drew, how are you doing?"
Yeah.
And he comes up and says, "I really like your PowerPoint presentations," which was super cute.
It was.
It was a very charming little segment. But, yeah, they insinuated more of this potential romantic angle between her and Enzo. I still kind of feel like that's a way to write him off 205 Live, but maybe not. I don't know. He's a strong character. Would you really want to get rid of him on
the
show?
No, I don't think so.
Probably not.
Not for the time being, at least.
Yeah. Anyways, we're going to take a brief pause here to thank the sponsor. We got a sponsor, Larson. Today's episode of Going In Raw, Fuego Box.
Yeah, everyone's done all the standard gift items, clothes, cologne, a nice bottle of liquor. Done, done, and done.
Yeah, we've got something different and much better than any of those this holiday season. Do you put hot sauce on everything, Larson?
Yeah.
If so, it's time to check out Fuego Box, a hot sauce club that delivers boxes of small batch and gourmet hot sauces right to your doorstep. They focus on flavor over heat and always avoid gimmicky selections. Think of it as a hot sauce club for people who love food.
To purchase, go to FuegoBox.com and use code RAW1 for $10 off your first box. That's FuegoBox.com, promo code RAW1, that's R-A-W and the number one, for $10 off the best hot sauces you've probably never heard of.
This is really cool. I told Devin about it, my stepkid, because he's a huge hot sauce guy.
As am I. I love
like
hot sauce.
Everything, because he doesn't really like food that much, but he likes hot sauce. And so he just dumps on everything. So this is like a cool thing. It's like, cool, I might get this just for him for Christmas.
There you go.
Teenagers are sometimes hard to shop for.
They are.
Yeah. Anyways, check it out. And once again, thanks to Fuego Box for
sponsoring thank you very much.
Going In Raw. All right, moving on. Next up, we had really good match, Cesaro versus Roman Reigns for the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, we talked about a little bit this is, what, three straight matches in a row that Roman has put on. They've been really strong.
Yeah.
Pretty much all the matches he's had since he's won the Intercontinental title have been really good. This one was a nice bit of storytelling with Cesaro working over Reigns' right arm.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting they chose the right arm because traditionally in WWE, if you work an arm, it's the left arm.
Yeah.
But they chose the right arm in this match, and it really stood out to me, I guess because it's Reigns' Superman punch hand.
Mm-hmm.
This is a really well-told story, effectively done. Cesaro working that arm in a number of different ways. There's a couple really dramatic moments where Cesaro had Reigns in a variety of submission moves. And we criticized WWE a lot for the use of submission holds during the middle of matches because they don't typically enhance the drama of the match.
Most
usually
the time they feel like
rest holds, like headlocks or something like that. This was not the case.
True.
Every hole that Cesaro put Reigns in had a purpose, and it told the story.
Right.
And there's a couple, and Reigns did a great job selling for the most part. I kind of wish he hadn't hit his pickup powerbomb thing with the bad arm.
Mm-hmm.
Try for it, not hit it because his arm was too damaged or something like that. And I kind of wish he would have hit the spear with his left arm rather than his right. But nonetheless, for the most part, like that spot where he hit the ring post, man, he hit that ring post hard.
At that point, I sort of woke up and was like, oh, my God, look at that. He's selling.
Yeah, he sold pretty well.
And then I was like, he's actually been, now that I think about it, it's been kind of a subtle shift. But, you know, we used to criticize him for not selling at all.
Yeah.
Because he used to do that.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, cool.
Maybe he's catching on a little detail.
He's been watching some AJ Styles matches.
He set up for the Superman punch, you know, where he cocks the fist and hits the mat. And when he did that, he sold briefly, maybe not intensely as maybe he could have, you know, like a tremor of pain going up his arm.
Right, yeah.
And he kind of sold it after the punch, too. So.
No, this was a great match. They gave it a lot of time.
Yeah,
the crowd
did.
Was super into it.
Super into it, yep.
Cesaro's a wrestling machine. And that's one thing that I think they're doing. And this is one of the smarter things they're doing. They're putting Roman Reigns in there with a lot of guys who can really, really go. There's not a lot of people on the roster who can't really, really go.
Yeah.
But there are certain people on the roster who can drag others to a really good match. And Roman Reigns, he's starting to get to be one of them. I mentioned this off camera. I've never considered Elias to be a guy who can drag anybody else to a great match. I mean, I've never really maybe seen him have the opportunity to do that. But him and Roman Reigns had a fantastic match.
Yeah.
And at that point, you have to start crediting Roman damn Reigns.
Yeah, you do.
You know?
Yeah.
And so all credit where credit is due to Roman Reigns, they really, especially this last couple months on Raw, I mean, before that, he was sort of doing the Braun Strowman thing, which was fantastic. But, you know, you can only do the Power Monster feud so long.
Yeah, I know.
At some point, you got to get in there and actually wrestle. And, man, he's been putting on some really, really stellar matches. They've been giving them a lot of time. The offense that they've given him still isn't all that dynamic, but like you said, that's kind of by design.
Yeah, I think they just want him, like Cena, have a very recognizable arsenal of moves.
Yeah, I just wish he would do. I wish he was more reckless with his spear.
Yeah, I know.
I wish he was like,
hey, look at it this way. At least for last night, he hits the spear with the right shoulder. Maybe he's just being a little hit it a little more gingerly to protect the arm.
Yeah, but if that's the case, Cesaro should kick out from it.
Agreed, he should have kicked out of it.
Yeah.
But that's not going to happen. I'm not booking the spear that way.
Yeah, I know.
The last 2 weeks, Reigns has busted out moves we hadn't seen before. Last week was the half crab.
Mm-hmm.
And then this week, he did several roll-up variations that we hadn't seen him do before.
Mm-hmm.
So they're showing off more of his arsenal, or he's learning more stuff. That's what I hope from these matches he's having with these really good wrestlers, is that he can start learning.
Yeah, yeah.
So...
good stuff. Let's see here. Next up, we had
a Braun Strowman promo.
Oh, yeah.
That was great. Short.
Yeah, Braun's great.
Braun's great. Maybe my second favorite part of the show behind this Intercontinental title match was coming up later on when Dana Brooke was talking with Titus Worldwide.
That was so good.
The club comes in, calls them nerds.
So unexpected.
And you hear off camera Braun scream, storming through the frame, and everybody gets the heck out.
Oh, it was awesome.
That was great.
Yeah, that was actually a really good direction there. Next up, we had Asuka versus what was supposed to be Alicia Fox.
But it wasn't.
Asuka comes out, her great entrance. Alicia Fox's music hits, then nothing happens. Paige's music hits. She comes down with Absolution, and she
says, well, we'll see why Alicia's not coming out for a match, and she's talking on the Titantron backstage to a ref, saying something wrong with her elbow.
Yeah, right, right. And so Paige starts telling Asuka, we're going to get in the ring, and you're going to leave now.
So if you're in the way, you're going to get run over. If you don't want to get run over, get out of the way, essentially.
Right, exactly.
Asuka didn't get out of the way.
Yeah.
So Absolution attacks. Asuka at first gets the upper hand. Absolution's numbers are too much.
Mm-hmm.
Out comes the rest of the Raw
Women's Division. The entire division.
And they all attack Absolution.
Right.
Faces and heels.
Faces and heels. This has to mean...
Rumble.
Well, yeah, they're probably going to do Rumble. I would think storyline-wise, somebody has to turn and join Absolution.
You don't think it's going to be Alicia Fox?
No, it's possible, I guess. But when she came out last night, she had a head full of steam.
I understand. So, you know, when was the last time that, if you had a medical issue, you take it up with the ref? You go to the trainer or someone else backstage.
That's a good
point.
The
ref doesn't have authority to take someone
out. Well, yeah, and of course, obviously, whenever there's a heel turn, whoever's turning has to make it look like they're not going to turn initially.
So the turn has impact.
Exactly, yeah. So they have to fight somebody.
And also, Alicia Fox, you know, Paige said last week, you know, you're my friend, I love you. Alicia Fox and Paige have been friends for a long time.
Not exactly.
That's canon on Total Divas.
Not exactly the most impact player to turn, though.
No, but who else could it be?
That's a possibility, but man.
It's not going to be Nia, because she's involved in this Enzo story.
Yeah. Boy, it'd be great if it was, though. See, that's the kind of impact that you'd want to make.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, crap, now they have to deal with that.
Sasha or Bailey. The only two that can make a similar impact.
Yeah, maybe.
But since it was Sasha's music they hit last night when they came out, not Alexa Bliss, who's the champ.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting choice.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like there has to be some sort of... Because here's the thing. Like, yes, did it feel like a women's rumble? Absolutely. But you still have that element of, well, it's still the entire women's division against Absolution.
Mm-hmm.
So their back's up against the wall. They have to do something. So they have to do something, so they have to flip somebody.
Yeah.
Maybe not. They might not do it. I don't know. Just my feeling. Anyways. Let's see here.
Next, Kurt Angle is talking backstage with the stage manager.
Uh-huh.
In walks Jason Jordan. Jason Jordan has been doing great work the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all on board Jason Jordan. I'm back on board Jason Jordan, 100%. So I think this week he did a really good job of balancing the whininess with seeming like he
You know,
it wasn't just whiny kid.
Yeah.
It was whiny kid plus, all right, I'm getting really upset about all this. Not just upset, but like mad. There was more intensity to it, not just whining.
I'll put it this way.
I think his performances the last week have been top notch.
I think they've been good. I'm interested to see where it goes. I'm just kind of scared that it's going to just linger and not really go much of anywhere.
Yeah.
Which happens too often with this guy, because there's a number of really cool directions this could go. I do like that Samoa Joe at the head of the show referred to him as a bastard, because a bunch of Elias did that last week.
Yeah.
And so I kind of like that as a gimmick. You know, the bastard Jason Jordan. Sounds very like, I don't know.
It's like a Game of Thrones thing.
Right. Yeah, exactly, you know. So I think that could be cool. I don't really know what you'd do with that.
Well, I mean, you
can't really put that there.
It would lead to Jordan turning on his father.
You can't put that on the lower third, can you? No. The bastard Jason Jordan. No. Maybe you could.
But it's going to result in Jason Jordan turning on Kurt Angle.
Well, we saw a little bit of that this time. He was backstage with Kurt Angle.
Yeah, saying, that, you know, why didn't you put me in a match against Samoa Joe tonight? And Kurt says, you know, I'm not speaking to you as your father. I'm speaking to you as a GM.
Yeah.
And just because you're my son, don't think that you're going to get what you want all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And Jason says, all right, I understand. Thanks, Dad. Or should I say Kurt?
Yeah.
And the way he punctuated that was really well done.
That was really well done. It was another, again, good little piece of writing.
Yep.
Speculate that maybe whoever wrote that wrote the Elias bit last week.
Could be.
Because I really liked it.
Maybe Kurt's writing all this himself.
You think so? That'd be cool.
No, I don't think so. I'm just speculating.
Kurt Angle revealed his low-level WWE writing.
I know. Next up, Dean Ambrose versus Samoa Joe. Jason Jordan took in the match for the top of the ramp.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
Similar to what Joe did last week.
Yeah, I like that his character is sort of swimming in the deep end.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. He's kind of oblivious to the fact. Cause one thing he talked about with Kurt, is, you know, I've had matches against Roman Reigns and all the other top-flight opponents, and I've held my own, so I'm the guy that can beat Samoa Joe.
Uh-huh.
And Kurt Angle says, holding your own is a long ways away from actually beating anybody.
Right, yeah.
So Jason Jordan thinks he's top of the card superstar. But Kurt Angle's like, you're more mid-carder.
Yeah.
Right now. You need to come to grips with that, son. What?
When was the last time we saw Triple H?
A couple weeks ago? Or we've not seen him since Survivor Series.
No, it was the Raw after Survivor
Series. That's the last time we've seen him then. So a couple weeks. 3 weeks.
And that was it.
Yeah,
like he just completely sabotaged
the thing all over again.
He
man.
Sabotaged. And didn't we say that was going to happen?
Yeah, we knew that was going to happen, man.
He just sabotaged the Survivor Series and he disappears.
I know.
Because I was like, oh man, you know, if they really build it right, it could be kind of cool to see Kurt Angle versus Jason Jordan at Mania.
Yeah,
that'd be really fun. And then I was like, oh, what about Triple H? And I was like, oh yeah, we'll get Triple H versus Kurt at the Rumble. Where the hell's Triple H been?
I know.
Well, I guess he just beat Jinder.
Oh, that's right. But on TV.
Yeah,
that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, but I think sometimes they view like social media as nowadays house shows
partial canon.
Sometimes are canon. Yeah, like he just beat. We haven't talked about that at all. The fact that we were talking about this off camera. How do you feel about Triple H beating Jinder Mahal in India? And then they did the cool dance thing. That was fun.
I don't know. I kind of feel like Jinder probably should have won that.
We both love Jinder, man.
Yeah,
we catch heat in the comments for liking Jinder. Huh?
Because it's pretty much just this: Triple H doesn't really gain anything by winning that match, whereas Jinder beating Triple H gains a lot.
Yeah,
so that's pretty much the reason why I think Jinder should have won it.
I don't know. Okay, I'll put it this way: I'm not sure how the crowd reacted to Jinder, if they viewed him as legit or not. And I think that's kind of the whole thing about the WWE. Putting the belt on him, trying to penetrate the Indian market. I mean...
But what better way to whether the crowd thinks he's legitimate or not, a really good step in establishing his legitimacy is by beating Triple H.
I'll put it this way. Legitimacy in terms of hometown cred. You know what I mean? Because it's one thing if they view him as, oh, you're one of us, you're our hometown guy. If they don't view him as that because he's Canadian, then mission not accomplished. And at that point, he's a heel. Triple H is the face. Go in there and beat the heel. You know, I think that's more the thing. It's like if he's a hometown guy.
I understand your perspective. I mean, I said that's not necessarily my rationale for wanting Jinder to win. It's strictly just if you want to establish Jinder as a top of the card or even upper mid card talent.
He was a WWE champion for 6 months.
I know.
Look.
He should beat Triple H.
Power ranking wise, he probably should beat Triple H.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's Triple H. He views himself as the biggest champion.
Golden Shuffle.
Yeah, exactly.
Getting back to Dean Ambrose versus Samoa Joe. Good match.
Yeah, it was a good match.
Jason Jordan got involved. Here, let me make sure I get these. There we go. Samoa Joe was having a problem with Jason Jordan out there. They brawled for a bit outside.
Mm-hmm.
Dean hit a suicide dive on the both of them.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's opposite. Other way around, sorry. They fight outside for a bit. Joe gets back in the ring. Dean hits the top rope elbow. Jason Jordan gets on the apron, distracts the ref, while Dean covers Joe for a pin.
Yeah.
Dean goes out to the ringside area, argues with Jordan.
Jordan's about to throw him over his head.
Yeah, and then Joe does a suicide dive on the both of them.
Yeah.
Back in the ring, Joe wins with the Coquina clutch.
Yep. I like that. I like when Samoa Joe wins things. I'm very happy.
I meant to note the brawl on the outside between Jordan and Joe, and I didn't do that. And it messed me all up.
It's all right, man. It's good.
You should have wooded me.
What?
What?
No, I'm not going to do that because I didn't take notes.
That's true.
That'd be kind of rude. Like, that's the one part of the job that I'm happy not to do is, like, to take notes.
Sometimes I'm really thorough and sometimes I'm not. Depends how into the show I am.
Yeah. Next up, we had you mentioned this earlier, but it was a very charming segment where Dana Brooke was being welcomed into Titus Worldwide as their new research, development, and statistician.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they were all happy about it. And then enter the club, and they started calling statisticians nerds.
Nerd!
But it was all a big setup for Braun Strowman because then he came screaming through.
I can't say nerd as well as Luke Gallows.
Nobody can. But, you know, the crowd eats it up. The crowd out there, you can hear him say, nerd, nerd, nerd.
Yeah, I know.
Man, book the club strong. Dang it.
They're a one-note gimmick right now. They just call people nerds, and they can offer so much more.
It's a classic one-note, though, isn't it?
It is pretty good.
Yeah.
Braun storms through, setting up main event, his match against Kane.
Uh-huh.
I knew this was going to have a weird finish because it didn't start till like 1 minute till 11.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Because after Braun's entrance, they went to another commercial break.
Yeah.
And then Kane's entrance. But they got the most of their 11 minutes they could. Braun ate 2 choke slams, kicked out of both of them. Got up and delivered a choke slam on Kane.
Mm-hmm.
Kane kicks out. They brawl on the outside. Braun, like, not really spears, but drives Kane through the barricade.
Mm-hmm.
And so the ref counts them both out.
Yeah.
And they just brawl all around. They do a spot where they charge at each other with the ring steps.
Yeah.
Ultimately, Braun power slams Kane through a table. Stands tall to end the show.
This is kind of one of the more lackluster monster battles. You know, I mean, we've had Braun versus Big Show.
There was no result.
Yeah, I know.
We
totally forgot to mention.
Oh, the winner of this match was supposed to face Brock at the Rumble.
Right. So
it's gonna be a triple threat. It's the same old thing where they want to have Brock probably against Braun, but they don't want either man to lose, so they stick Kane in there to eat the pin.
I'm fine with that. Yeah, I'm actually way more fine with that than Braun eating another pin.
Oh, same here. This is my prediction. Braun is gonna hit a power slam on Brock, seem like he's on the verge of winning. Kane disrupts the pin. They argue a bit. Brock gets the upper hand, like does something to Braun, F5 to Kane, Brock wins.
There you go.
So that builds up the feud for Braun and Kane.
You're probably exactly right about that.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good stuff.
Do you want to open mail now or answer questions?
Let's open mail, man. Because we put up our questions thread. This one I opened up because there was no like return on it.
Oh.
And I was like, is this business or something? Anyways, this is from the original Caffeinator. He says, enjoy with immaturity, some sort of WWE. Oh, that's funny. So this is part of some WWE card game, apparently.
Uh-huh.
And it's this is damage to fortitude 2. It says you can reverse any strike or grapple maneuver and end your opponent's turn Shuffle up to two cards from your ringside pile into your arsenal. But it's titled, I Love My Testicles, because Test is on it with Stacy Keibler. So it's like a reversal in case somebody low blows you.
Gotcha.
When this card is in your ring area, your opponent's cards titled Dirty Low Blow are plus 2D. I never understood these games, man. These card games, amazing.
Yeah, I know.
What do you got over there?
Paul Orndorff from JT Hostap.
Oh, nice.
This is Gurr from JT the Professor.
The Professor.
Perfect. So we got one side, we got Paul Orndorff.
Look at that. JYD.
JYD.
That's all man right
there. That's awesome.
That's fantastic.
Thank you very much. That's great.
Let me see Orndorff. Oh, that's fantastic. We got it, dude. We got to start saving stuff for the new set.
I know.
For the office.
Here.
So we're going to refrain from putting that up on the wall, but we're going to keep a stash of stuff for the office.
New office.
Lots of
question time. Rocks.
It's time for questions. Come on, Leon. I'm going to increase. There we go. All right, here we go. Load more comments.
Load more. I have to refresh.
Golly, there's a two. We're already almost through 2017.
I know. It's been crazy. Crazy year.
Oh, I love this here from CM Punk Finds and Insulting. Power rank, job titles for Dana Brooke when she starts working for Going in Raw in the new office space. Patreon fulfillment rep. So she's going to take care of our amazing patrons. I still have a lot of those care packages sent out.
She can do R&D. For Going in Raw, be your statistician.
Do we need a statistician?
Yeah, man.
For what? To do
It'd be
what?
Great to just catalog everything.
I don't want. That sounds like a colossal waste of payroll.
No way, man.
To catalog everything?
Yeah.
Like, what do we have to catalog?
Numbers. More like better.
What numbers?
Better than YouTube Analytics does.
Oh, YouTube Analytics is pretty in depth. Like
they're
she could
good,
be. A,
but
she could
it,
be a.
It could be more.
She could be an analyst for YouTube Analytics.
Yeah, statistician.
There's number
R&D.
Two. Yeah, no, you just completely changed what I said.
No, same thing.
Next, what else can she be? Henchman. She could be our bodyguard.
Head writer.
Oh, there you go. I love that. Head of creative.
Yeah.
I like that too. She could be our new ticket master.
Okay.
So that, you know, hey, we got to go on location and watch a wrestling show.
Can you procure us tickets?
Get us tickets, Ticketmaster.
Ticketmaster, Dana Brooke.
It's all good stuff. Official Fahad. Hey, guys.
Hi.
Seeing Matt Hardy be woken, yes. Always puts a smile on my face. When you see it, it always makes you smile. That is not a question. I should not have read that one. I love you, Fahad, though, but... Totally not a question.
Nemo saw a YouTube video of Kota Ibushi wrestling a blow-up doll. Funny stuff. Power rank the top five wrestlers that can take a blow-up doll to a five-star match. Kenny Omega also wrestled.
Yeah.
A blow-up doll, correct?
Yeah. Kenny Omega, Okada, Cesaro.
AJ Styles.
AJ Styles.
Ricochet.
Ricochet. There you go. Interesting. I'm not Baron Corbin. Says, how do you think Woken Matt Hardy will be presented in 2K19? His character is so based on things he does outside the ring that it would seem kind of disappointing just to have him as a regular character with his delete taunts. Any ideas on what 2K could do to make it truer to the character?
How about this? The video editor, one of the locations is Hardy Compound.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Kevin Mack, hey friendos, who would be your dream match for Braun Strowman against anyone if time didn't matter in wrestling history? For him, he says Vader.
Andre.
Good choice.
Andre. Or Big John Studd.
Yeah.
That'd be good.
Vader's a good choice.
Obviously. Vader's a great choice. But here's the thing. Vader would, like, hurt people. I love Braun. I don't want him to get hurt.
Braun's massive. It's hard to hurt Braun.
I don't want him to... He's a human being, Larson.
Yeah.
He could be hurt just like anybody.
Do you think Vader could even get Braun up for a powerbomb?
Hell no.
No.
No, not at all.
That's the primary way Vader would hurt people.
So all he would do is, it was usually the clubbing blows.
I don't know, man. He broke a dude's back with a powerbomb.
Have you seen his clubbing blows, though?
I have, yes. He concussed Foley with a powerbomb.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm saying you take away the powerbomb, that's one of his primary means of hurting people.
Of hurting human beings.
Yeah. I don't want to see anybody get hurt.
Me neither, especially not Braun. He's a sweetheart. Let's see here.
Karen, do you think Absolution attacking Asuka and the entire women's locker room emptying out to save her is going to establish her, Asuka, as a new top babyface on Raw? Or do they think they're just trying to jumble up the women's division and book Absolution strong as a viable threat to the women's championship and potentially terminate Asuka's undefeated streak?
I don't think the undefeated streak is going to go anywhere anytime soon.
No, but they should put the thought in your head that it could.
Yeah.
Asuka's definitely top babyface.
Aligning her with the faces, but the fact that Alexa Bliss came down too, and everybody fending them off, there's going to be a turn which will represent another shift of power.
Yeah,
that's how it has to be. Has to be that way.
Tommy T, hey friend, my question is: what role and importance does look and physique have in the modern day package of a wrestler? Stuff like promo, in-ring ability, marketability, and stuff of that nature.
Okay, well, hold on. Those are two different things. Look and physique doesn't really fit in with promo and stuff.
No, I think he's saying that how does it fit into the total package? Of what
into the total package? It doesn't.
Not anymore.
I don't think it does at all. Look at the wide variety of body shapes we have across the landscape, both in the men's and women's divisions.
Yep.
But especially, like, you know, they're bringing in guys like Killian Dane. You know, they use Trent Seven on a regular basis.
Kevin Owens is in the A story on SmackDown. He's already been Universal Champion,
right.
U.S. Champ,
right.
Intercontinental Champ.
Did you hear Rusev complaining about his power ranking?
No.
It was all very in character.
Yeah, yeah.
But he said, look at Sami Zayn. He's the same ranking as Rusev, and yet he shaves his abs into his stomach. It was great.
Rusev is
great.
He said
the only one that makes sense is Vince. He's a 74 because he sucks. Oh, that's fantastic.
Oh, that's great. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, what a great question. Karen, you're not me. Borbin. What old championship title would you bring back from the past, and who would you give it to?
It's got to be a TV title.
Defended every week on TV.
Although it should be the network title. The TV title, renamed the network title. No, I think my idea for the Universal Championship is best idea I ever had. Network title. It's got to be defended, or the network will cut to that match whenever it's defended on TV or on house shows.
Even promo ability isn't that important these days, as long as not being a great promo fits in with your character.
Yeah.
Because, like, you don't need to hear Killian Dane say anything. Nikki Cross just grunts and says crazy
and
stuff.
Screams and stuff, I know.
Sonya Deville, I feel like they're kind of doing a disservice to her talking in the first place. Why does she need to talk? She needs to be like Ken Shamrock. I don't remember what the hell his voice sounded like. Besides him screaming at ringside when he first came in.
Yeah, he didn't really have a tough voice.
Didn't need one.
No.
You know?
CM Punk finds it insulting. I know we've already answered one of his questions, but this is good enough to answer. Where would Steven Larson rate on Gallows and Anderson? Nerd-o-meter.
Oh, man, top nerds.
High.
Yeah, we'd be super high on the nerd.
We might break the needle.
I mean, we're freaking wrestling podcasters.
Yeah, that's pretty nerdy.
I'm about to start a Star Trek podcast.
You break the meter.
I've literally always wanted to draw comic books.
Oh, my
living.
Gosh.
I'm too nerdy.
You're pretty nerdy, man.
Yeah.
Pretty, pretty nerdy.
Pretty, pretty, pretty nerdy. That's actually a good question. Chris Kimmel. If Jeff Hardy becomes part of the Woken Universe, what name would he go by so WWE gets to own it as opposed to Brother Nero?
That'd be Nero something.
Yeah, it'd probably just be Nero.
That's his middle name.
Yeah. It'd just be Nero.
Yeah.
Nero.
Woken Nero.
Woken Nero. There you go.
Something like that. This is a good question. Alex Foster, you guys always say a wrestler should change after feuding with Bray. How would you change Bray after his feud with Woken Matt Hardy?
He'd be like just a... He'd be...
What if Woken Matt purges Bray
right,
Wyatt
right,
and Sister
right.
Abigail?
That's what I'm thinking. He's just a normal dude.
Yeah, he's just a guy now.
Yeah. He likes...
He goes back to being Husky Harris.
He's a fantasy football guy.
There you go.
He just does that. He's like, hey, man, can I get some nachos here, man? Thank you.
Oh, you started Carson Wentz. Yeah. Don't you know he's injured?
Oh, man. His ACL is busted, man.
Reginald Torian, with Elimination Chamber coming up, I've now realized that that's the way they're probably going to get the title off of Roman before Mania. There's no way they're going to get Brock in that chamber after the Rumble. Power Rank potential participants in the Elimination Chamber that have the highest chance of winning the Intercontinental title off Roman.
My name is Finn Balor.
I know, I mentioned this already. They're already advertising the chamber. Who's going to be on the card? They don't say in the match, but they list six names. And it's Roman, Dean, Seth, Miz.
When is the chamber?
February 26th. Okie doke. So my thought instantly was, okay, Reigns isn't going to win the Rumble. That Elimination Chamber match would be even more contender for the Universal title at Mania.
All right.
That's my guess.
Paves the way for Randy Orton to win the Rumble.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Second year in a row.
Are you super excited about that?
Yes.
Okay, good. You need to act more excited about it. That's the only way it's going to work. It's the only way we're going to get him not to win the Rumble.
Enthusiasm cannot be contained.
Dude, you're not enthusiastic right now. I need more energy from you.
Yes, please, Randy Orton, win the Rumble.
You sound like you're reading a WWE script. Oh, speaking of which, read the next question.
Oh, I have to find it first. You caught me unprepared. Tweener Jack friends those with Finn Balor and the club being heavily misused. Is it about time to get the ball rolling on the club?
Stop, don't look at that.
Yeah. Bring back the club. Oh, yeah, you have to do games.
Get the ball rolling on the club.
We have to do games.
I have a Starcade. I'm doing Starcade 1995.
Okay, how many matches are on the card?
Let me look. Don't look at this.
Not including dark matches.
What's 3 to 11? It's at 8. 1, 2, 3, yeah. 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
All right.
8 matches.
And I just searched a random show. This one also has 8 matches.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Mine is Backlash 2004.
Oh, crap. You and your damn Ruthless Aggression era.
Yeah.
Always gets me.
Are you ready? Who wants to go first?
Who wins this match?
Oh, Randy Orton? It's time for play-per-view.
Is it Randy Orton, Batista, or Triple H, or John Cena?
Yeah,
I know. Who won? Okay. Well, I'm going to do Starcade 1995.
All right. You might want to... Just so I don't... There you go.
There we go. All right. Starcade 1995. This is play-per-view. It's our new game.
Play-per-view.
Yeah. First match.
Chris
Benoit versus Jushin Thunder Liger in a singles match.
I'll say Benoit.
Jushin Thunder Liger.
Darn
Do not
it.
Put a finger up.
No. Shelton Benjamin versus Ric Flair in a singles match.
Is it for anything?
No.
Or just a singles match?
Singles match.
I'm going to say Flair went over.
No.
Damn it.
Shelton Benjamin went over.
All right, next.
Next.
It's Starcade 95.
Starcade 95.
Alex Wright versus Koji Kanemoto.
Alex Wright.
Koji Kanemoto.
All right. Jonathan Coachman versus Tajiri.
Coachman.
Yeah.
let's see here. I do the names alphabetically. Lex Luger versus Masahiro Chono.
Luger.
Very good.
There we go. I'm on the board.
Put a finger up.
In a handicap match, Christian and Trish Stratus against Chris Jericho.
Christian and Trish Stratus.
No.
Oh, wow. Y2J.
Yeah.
Johnny B. Bad versus Masa Saito. Boy, is this like a whole... Yeah, this is... Okay.
This is WCW versus New Japan?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Johnny B. Bad.
Yeah, correct.
Next, Lita versus Victoria for the Women's Championship.
Lita.
No.
How am I getting all these wrong? It's like a 50-50 chance.
Getting them wrong, man.
Shinjiro Otani versus... Well, I didn't do these alphabetically. Eddie Guerrero.
Otani.
Yes, correct.
The Hurricane and Rosie versus La Resistance.
Oh, the Hurricane and Rosie.
Yeah.
There we go. Where are you at?
Three? I have three.
Okay, I got to make this up. Let's see here. Tenzan versus, oh, yeah, Macho Man.
It's going to be Macho Man.
Macho Man won, that's right. Oh, yeah.
Randy Orton versus Cactus Jack for the Intercontinental Championship.
It's going to be Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Catching up. Let's see here. Kensuke Sasaki versus Sting.
How many more matches are there? Two?
Two after this one.
You got to go with Sting.
Yeah, you'd be right, too. Got to go with Sting.
Kane versus Edge.
Edge.
Yeah.
Yeah, Edge did a lot of neat things.
A lot of neat things.
All right.
Including defeat Kane in a singles match at Backlash 2004.
All right. Lex Luger versus Ric Flair versus Sting in a triple threat match.
Wow. Is this for anything?
I believe it's to move on to take on Randy Savage for the WCW World Heavyweight Championship because that happened right afterwards.
What year was this? 95?
Yeah.
Sting, Flair, and Luger?
Yeah.
Flair, he didn't have a match before.
Yeah, very good. Flair.
Next. Shawn Michaels versus Triple H versus Chris Benoit for the World Heavyweight Championship.
Who walked in as champion?
Chris Benoit.
I'll say Benoit kept it.
Yeah.
Okay, nice. I got five.
I have six right now.
You have six right now? Okay,
yeah.
Let's see if you're either going to be
I think
you
missed Cannon. You have one more match.
Oh, nice. Okay, good.
No, I mean, you have one more match on your card because I'm done.
Yeah, I know. I was about to read it to you.
Okay.
Flair versus the champion Savage.
Oh, Savage was champ.
Yeah.
Savage.
No, Flair won it.
Oh, okay.
He won. So you won by one.
One by one.
Well done.
I'm best.
In a dark match, who won between One Man Gang and Sasaki?
Sasaki.
One Man Gang won.
Oh, darn it.
Oh, that was for the U.S. title. That was a dark match?
Wow.
What the heck? Anyways. What a fun good. Game. That's my new favorite game.
Yeah, it's good.
We literally can just do it.
Yeah, no you know, research.
It's good stuff. Anyways, do I have music here? Out music. All right, there we go. There should be some music.
Maybe.
Anyways, thanks for watching, everybody. Really appreciate it. And until next time, we'll talk to you guys later. Oh, I was probably going to goof the title. Goodbye.
Bye.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move.
Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.